The first reading for today is from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on is the words that Diane read for you. One of the hardest readings in all of Scripture, other than when you get to, you know, just the lists of names. This is one of the tough ones. The good I want to do, I do not do. The things I do not want to do, those are the things that I do. Don't. And it's really tough to get through. She did awesome. Gold star for Diane. It's an important text for us, and I could summarize it real simply in saying, just the idea behind it is, we're sinful people and we want to do good, but we don't. Instead, we end up doing the things that we shouldn't do. There's the text. But really what's behind this text is understanding how we have the opportunity to do things and why we have the opportunity to do things on our own and live the way we do. And that's because of the freedom that God has given us. We're not puppets that he manipulates and makes do things the way he wants us to do them. He gives us his heart and he gives us forgiveness and he gives us the opportunity of eternal life, but he still gives us the freedom to live out this life. Some people understand and value freedom better than others. People that have lived in perhaps other countries, places where there is a stricter law, can understand freedom a little bit more when they get to experience that. I've always said people in the U.S. military, they understand freedom better than a lot of people because of a couple of things. One, if not for the experiences they have while they're in the military, if helping out in other places, other countries, or other people that have such needs and what they've lost in some cases, they understand freedom when they get done with boot camp, for sure, because they've gone through about 6 to 8 weeks of not having any freedom whatsoever and doing everything that they're told to do. Then they get to be free a little bit. We should understand freedom. I've experienced the differences in the freedoms we have in mission work, in going to the different countries I've been at, whether it's been Mexico or Honduras or Panama or Belize or India. The ideas of freedom in these places is not the freedoms that we enjoy. They have different freedoms, yes, but I think I'll take what we get in the U.S., quite honestly. God is with us, and for us as Christians gathered here, I would say you should have a better understanding of freedom than even those that are in the United States that are not Christians, because for us, we understand where that freedom begins. And it begins with the cross for us. The resurrection that declared us as free. But in that freedom now, as Christians, we return that freedom, ideally, back to God. And we make ourselves to be His servants, or even as the scriptures read, a doulos, a slave to Christ. We enslave ourselves back to the one who freed us because we don't want to leave. We don't want to be out here on our own, and we know that following Him is the best thing that we can do. Thank you, Lord, for this freedom, but in this freedom, I want to use it to follow the Lord more faithfully. Some people are in war-torn countries, and they have experienced years of oppression, and when they get that freedom given to them, when they're rescued from the tyranny of some of the oppressors that they've had in their governments, they're so appreciative. They love the idea of being able to do the things they do, go the places they go, be who they want to be. And for years and years and years, it's meant for Mexico, freedom that's come out for many folks has been the opportunity to make a living here, even as we see a lot of the places with day workers still, where they're getting just the work for this day to earn some money to send back home to take care of their families. And they have that freedom to be able to do that, although that's becoming even more difficult nowadays. But some are still able to do that, to earn that living that they can make here that they couldn't make in Mexico, and support their families. And glad that they can find a way to do that. In China and in North Korea, they don't have a clue what real freedom is if they're not the ones that are in charge in the countries. As the regular people, there's that thing we call the World Wide Web. It ain't worldwide. It's shut down in some countries. It's blocked in some countries. And in places like China and North Korea, there are many people that don't have a clue what's going on in the rest of the world and what the rest of the world is like, because otherwise they'd be in an uproar in their countries, and the governments can't have that. So they're blocked out of those things. In India, freedom might look as simple as something like this, like a young woman being able to walk from her house to the river to draw water and come back and know that she was safe in doing so, which she currently is not. We here in the U.S., well, let's see, what's freedom? Freedom is being able to drive a Hummer in two lanes of traffic because it's so big and guzzle all the gas I want, even in the midst of everybody trying to push these battery-operated cars on me. Well, it is. That is one expression of freedom in a sense. Maybe a better expression of freedom would be something like, we're able to pursue whatever career we want, whatever job we want. You have a freedom to go to school, to not go to school, well, after a certain point, to become what you want to become, to try things that you want to try, to look at a vocation of your choosing. To some, freedom might be recognized as we are even expressing it today, in the ability to come together and worship and know that we're free to do so. We're not worried about any persecution when we come out of this building. We don't have to worry about facing any mobs because we are worshiping God, our God, the God that we desire and the God that we know is true. Well, there's nobody threatening us outside the doors. We're free. Not everyone experiences that. Why do we do what we do? Kind of in line with the text. Our text speaks about freedom. And the trouble that sometimes actually causes, because what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. That's the struggle we face. The text also addresses the reason that we have such problem with this freedom, and that's the sin living in me. Why do I have this struggle between what I do and what I don't do, or what I should do and what I shouldn't? Because of sin. We're all sinners. It's a great leveling of the playing field for all of us. Every single one of us are sinners. And we seem to have a problem in in the idea of living free. Because we want to be free, and God sets us free to serve Him. But then once we're free, the things that come around in this life, and as they might be going well for us, we can't seem to settle in and settle down with the good that we want to do or the good that God wants us to do. We continue to create problems for ourselves, create struggles for ourselves, get ourselves into trouble because we use our freedom wrongly. And that sin is there that's just taking us in directions that we shouldn't be going. In the church, we realize that there are truly great struggles that we face, problems that we deal with. But we recognize also that the church is a place where everyone can pull together and make things better, or at least bearable. Because we can support each other, we can encourage each other in this place, because we become a family here. And when everything is going well, God is praised, but we also know the devil's doing his jobs too, and he's good at what he does. And the devil is going to look to take folks and make them discontent, make them confused, make them deal with disruptions in their life and dissensions in their life and struggles so that they will turn away from the good things of God. And the devil is going to want to make everything, even the good things, look bad. It is sin living in us that does it, according to the text. And that sin is prodded on and fed by the devil. We can't say the devil made us do it. We do it of our own free will. Sin comes from our will. The devil can lead us in those temptations, but we choose to follow God or to serve the Lord of darkness. What will it be for you in your life? We're dealing with this giant tug-of-war game, in a sense, and it's not an up-and-down problem, because the up-and-down, if you think of the cross, there's an up-and-down issue in a relationship we have here between God and us. If we truly were in that right relationship and putting God first, we wouldn't deal with half the problems that we deal with in this world. But what we're doing is we're struggling with the world. And we're making it a back-and-forth issue between us and between others, between us and the world, between us and God, through our relationship with others in that back-and-forth. We bring a lot of it on ourselves. I think of a young couple that are dating. When a young couple dates, there are things that come in that are problems for them. The idea of jealousy comes in some cases, where there is no need for jealousy most of the time. But the concept is there. There's that fear that can come in of jealousy. For most young couples, the kind of love that they experience is that infatuation kind of love. So they don't really need to worry about the jealousy because they really are okay. But they worry and often will create their own problems because of that. There's the struggle of what could happen, the thoughts and the fears of what might happen and how things could go wrong. And sometimes the fear of what could happen and the thoughts of what could go wrong actually create the bad in the relationship. And we bring it upon ourselves. That's what sin continues to do for us. We wait for the other shoe to drop. We're looking for the next problem. We know that something else is going to go wrong. That's kind of the way we treat this world at times. And we're pulled back and forth. The struggle that we deal with sin is often just from within ourselves. There are others in this world that may tempt us. There are others that we may join with in going astray. There are others that may present opportunities for us. But really, a lot of the sin that we deal with is something that we've created on our own. We've willingly gone into, or we've had an internal struggle that we've gone the wrong way in, done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. We cause ourselves these problems. And in our life, as we deal with ourself, we recognize that what we need to be free from the most sometimes is ourself. That's why it's best that we turn ourselves back over to God. And to, instead of trying to discern right and wrong, and good and evil, and drop our microphones. Instead of trying to deal with those things, we just continue with the Lord. And continue in His ways and in His righteousness. We give ourselves back over to God. We enslave ourselves back to Christ so that He can be the one that tells us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, and He'll be that light for us that will show us where we need to go. He's the one that can cure us, that can heal us from our sin. Once you've identified the problem, then you can look for the right cure. If you're dealing with headaches, you're not going to go to a knee specialist. You're going to go to somebody that can help you with those headaches. They're going to prescribe something, perhaps, or give you some exercises or plans or something to relieve the tension or whatever it is that causes those headaches and seek to cure the headaches. If you're dealing with knee problems, you're not going to go to an ear doctor. They're not going to be able to help you as well. You're looking to define what the problem is and then get the cure for the problem. Well, the problem we deal with is sin, and the only cure is a Savior, Jesus. And if we're going to continue to be in this world, we're going to continue to sin. So we continue to need Christ. He's the only one that can free us from that sin. He's the only one that can set us free. And freedom itself, and there's kind of the oxymoron of that, it's not free. Freedom comes at a great cost. Both worldly freedoms in many ways we see, but also that freedom in the Spirit. It came at a great cost because Jesus had to die for that freedom to be ours. But He rose again to continue to remind us that He's with us to keep us free. And to continue to be that cure for us. Sometimes the headaches persist. Sometimes the illness persists. Well, for us, the sin persists. So we're going to continue to need that cure, Christ in our life. He's the only one that can rescue us. He's the only one that can cure us. He's the only one that can help us in all these ways that we've made a mess of things in this life. Jesus saves. And He saves us over and over and over again. Thanks be to God for the freedom we have because of an empty cross, because of a risen Savior, a freedom to follow our God, a freedom to live in His will and His ways and know that those are the correct ways, to listen to Him and His Word, not to argue with that Word, but to take up that Word and to live by it. In your freedom, may you continue to choose to return it back to Christ so that you can live in the fullness of this life as God would desire for you, blessed by Him, cared for by Him, and always in the presence of the Savior of our sins. The Savior over our sins, who pulls them all away and says, I've got you in this, and goes along with us in this world. In the name of Jesus, amen.